Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Season 3 Inside the Auditorium. And today, I'm really pleased to introduce Laura Needham, Group Chief Internal Auditor at Lloyds Bank. Laura speaks about how she juggles work with her family, Lloyds' great apprenticeship scheme, and how to earn your seat at the table with what good looks like. Welcome, Laura. Hello, Laura. I'm really pleased to have you a guest as on Inside the Auditorium today. Maybe you could perhaps introduce yourself and let us know who you are and where you're currently working.
Thank you. Hi, Hazel. So yes, my name's Laura Needham and I am the Group Chief Internal Auditor of Lloyds Banking Group. I've been here 2.5 years and prior to that, I was a partner at PwC.
And PwC gave you quite a lot of opportunity. I see that you started off in London and then was in Australia and the US. Can you tell us how that come about?
Yeah, of course. I was there for 23 years and a time kind of flew by because I was doing different roles over different territories. So I trained in London. I was a banking external auditor. But I put my hand up and said I wanted to go and work in New York. So I spent 2 years working in New York. And while I was there, the firm actually asked me to go move to Australia. And so we spent 3 years in Australia. It was quite easy for us because my husband used to work for the firm as well. He doesn't anymore. But so we could literally, the two of us could just move. And it was brilliant because this was back in, so I was in New York in 2005 and Sydney from 2007. And I just learned different things in different territories. You know, New York, the regulation and the speed of the way people work. And in Sydney, I saw more innovation. And, you know, we were doing things in 2009 in culture that many places don't do today in London. So it was really great. And I came back to the UK and I spent lots of time in the firm actually working in internal audit. And so broadened out of external audit, worked in our internal audit practice. And then, you know, the rest of my time at the firm was a mixture of internal and external audit.
Big transition for you then to, you know, being so long working at, you know, a PwC. What made you sort of join as the chief auditor, you know, for a bank?
I'd spent my entire career working with banks and I really wanted to be inside one and actually, you know, be a part of the fix. So working at PwC, it was, you know, I would work with many different clients, gave me great exposure to working with different organizations, but I wanted to be inside an organization, inside a bank specifically for me, and really think about how can I help to drive the control environment forward, which is why when the Lloyds opportunity came along, I jumped at it.
And what sort of initially sort of attracted you to audit in the first place then?
I love audit and I really do. And it kind of upsets me when people give audit a hard time or kind of look down their nose at it, because I think it's an incredible career for actually seeing a whole organization, for understanding how business works, to be able to challenge how business works, and then to be able to influence it to improve. So I've always found it fascinating. It's a career for me where I continue to learn. Yeah, I'm 48 years old, but I'm learning every single day. And for me, that's really important.
Yeah. It's very interesting in terms that, you know, I love when you, especially with a lot of auditors, you see them transferring to very different teams. And I know that you're very big advocate for training staff and also as well ensuring that your staff network. Why do you think that's so important for the networking side of things?
So there's a couple of things in that, isn't there? I think the networking for me is about making sure that we understand what's happening in the industry, understanding what good looks like outside of our organization, seeing actually if others are innovating in a way that we aren't. And, you know, so I have this mantra with my team is that, you know, I want every piece of work we do to be better than the last. You know, that's the mindset that I want people to come to work with. And so that external network is really important. And I like people to be agile across the business because I think, you know, it's great to be deeply experienced in a particular business line or a particular topic. But I think you can add real value when you're agile and move across the business and look at things from a slightly different angle.
Sure. I also don't think people realise how, you know, to move out of internal audit, especially getting into NED roles and other opportunities, how, you know, audit is so highly, you know, if you've been in internal audit, you're quite more highly thought of to actually get those roles. And I don't think people are aware enough of that.
Do you know, sometimes, so I always say to people that risk and control is in our DNA. And we take it a little bit for granted. You know, I think that actually, you know, that's a highly prized skill in business. And actually, you know, people should not take those skills for granted and actually use them to best effect, because I do think it makes internal auditors transferable for sure.
So firstly, as well, I've got to congratulate you. You was voted top 100 women to watch from Cranfield School of Management. What does that mean to you in terms of, you know, professional accomplishments you're most proud of?
Firstly, it was a real shock to be included in the list, and what an honour that Cranfield, you know, had seen me. I'm trying to grow my career as well, and so it's a real honour, and the ladies on the list, you know, to be in their company is just brilliant. It's lovely, but for me though, I get my real kicks, if you like, or professional pride is when I've seen my teams achieve. You know, when people who I've am coaching here at Lloyd's, or people I've coached in former roles, really growing their career, and when I see them achieving, it means everything, because I'm all about people first. I think investing in teams, investing in people, you know, helping them grow their skill set and achieve their potential is what's really important to me.
And was there anybody sort of it throughout your career, any particular mentor or advice you've been given that?
I've been so lucky, Hazel, across my career that I've had so many mentors, and even today, you know, as I, you know, moved roles, and there are both people in Lloyd's but also people in the marketplace who take an interest in helping me further my career, and that's something that I do with individuals as well. In terms of advice, there's two pieces of advice that I've always stuck to, and they're different but slightly linked. So the first is, whatever you're doing, as long as you can look yourself in the eye and know you're doing the right thing, then carry on. Do you know, there are moments in our careers where it get difficult. And, you know, there are moments where it's subjective. And I always think, am I doing the right thing here? You know, and if the answer is yes, then I feel confident in the path I'm taking. And the second one is, someone once said to me, a very wise woman said to me, you can't be superwoman. All you can do is your best. And it sounds ridiculous, but when you've got a lot to juggle, you know, whether it be home or work or both, and when both collide, I have this thing in my head, you can't be superwoman. You can only do your best. And it just settles me. And, you know, that's all any of us can do, right, is be our best. Do our best.
Sure. And you've just mentioned, obviously, home, you've got children.
Yes.
How do you sort of manage to juggle that with being in, you know, such a big role?
So I'm really clear with everybody that I'm mummy first. Really, really clear. And, you know, my kids are the most important things to me, and my husband, of course. But I'm mummy first, and I will do the very best job I can do here at Lloyd's, or and have done in my past roles, but the kids come first. So what that means is I'm very clear on my boundaries, you know, and the ways of working. And I've been very clear on that. And people always say to me, you know, Laura, is it easier for you because you're doing it in, you know, and you're in a senior role, so it makes it easier for you to do. And the honest reality is, Hazel, that I've just been clear with my boundaries throughout my whole career. It took me a lot to have my children. And so that clarity, because I had to fight to have my kids, just means that I really do stick to my boundaries.
Sure.
It's not easy, but I do it.
Of course. And with that, does that sort of have to come work-life balance, or, you know, we're putting the children to bed and, you know, and I know they're not babies, but, you know, and then getting on with your day, or, you know, you can switch off and...
So it's how you shape it, right? So the most important thing for me is to be able to do homework and you know, and be there for bedtime. So that does mean that sometimes I have to work later in the evening, but I'm okay with that. And I'm lucky. I work for an organisation that's really supportive of the fact that I want to be a really present mum. They never make me feel bad about it. In fact, they support it. And so I make it work. And I, you know, and what works for me doesn't work for everyone. I think it's just important that everyone finds what works for them. And it doesn't just need to be working mums. It's about how we all define how we want out the boundaries in our life.
Sure. And sort of, if you had any advice then for your younger self, what would that be? Or someone just starting a career?
Yeah. Be as curious as you can be. You know, learn everything you can about if you're in internal audit, the business that you're auditing. And sometimes I would say say yes to opportunities. And sometimes the opportunities where you learn the most aren't the most obvious. You know, I remember being younger in my career and, you know, someone would say, Laura, I want you to do this piece of work. I'd be like, it's not really what I had in my own mind. I've learned heaps from them. And I think the same's true. It's, you know, grasp every opportunity you can to learn.
Sure. And talking about learning, your apprenticeship scheme,
yes,
you know, very popular and well known for internal audit. Can you tell me why it sort of works so well and such a success?
Our apprentices are, I love spending time with them because they're what I just described. They're curious. They cycle through the business, so they get to see different parts of the business. You know what? They're kind of fearless. And they just want to learn. They're some of the best people we've got for saying, asking why, and pushing on boundaries. They're fabulous. And, you know, it's a great program we have here at Lloyd. They really do get to see the whole of business, get the qualification. And you know, they're just, all of them are full of energy. And, you know, they add so much value to the business at such a junior stage of their career.
Fantastic. And when you say they get to look at the whole of the business, is that just within internal audit, or they actually move around the bank?
So there's different programs. So some of our apprentices will just stay in the function and look at different parts of the bank within internal audit. There are other programs in the group where actually you might cycle through different parts. So audit is a part of the program. And I always love it when some people have been to see us for, you know, have had a short stint with us and then want to come back. So I think getting, like, it's a real opportunity, isn't it, to get that breadth so early in your career.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what's really, you know, when I first started working in recruitment, we were doing very much on the investment banking side and getting people from the first line into third line, which was quite challenging. I think more so, especially now, with the new products coming onto the market and the different regulations, being able to set, you know, to see the bigger picture. I'm still fascinated by it and you know, the treatment side. And that's why I love it so much, because of the variety within internal debt.
Variety, and, for sure.
You know, in terms of sort of emerging opportunities, do you believe What's most important for internal audit leaders to embrace now, both sort of for risk management and strategic value?
For me, so I spend a lot of my time thinking about emerging risk. And that's not just so there'll be some risks that evolve. And because I think it's really important for internal auditors to be really proactive in thinking about risk. I'm constantly monitoring what's happening in the external environment. You know, I'm fascinated at the moment to see what Trump is doing. What's happening externally that might drive change here, as well as what's happening internally that may mean that the risks are evolving. So I spend probably as much time thinking about the future and horizon risk as I do on, you know, the delivery of the plan, because I constantly want to make sure that we've got the right plan for the next quarter.
Sure. And in terms of sort of the changes that are happening, especially, you know, AI is becoming massive. We speak about this on pretty much every podcast. How do you get how do you think auditors should be ready and train and to be able to take on these new risks?
So the way we look at it in Lloyd's is in my team is we have a capability framework. And we literally take every single capability and we say, how do we know we need to improve it? So not only, so the very best person in that capability, you know, how do we make them even better? And how do we get more people coming up through the capability levels? Because I think it's really important, you know, I said about learning, but it's really important, you know, as an internal audit function, you need to be relevant. You need to be at the forefront of tech to be able to challenge the tech that the business are delivering. You know, it's very old fashioned, old school thinking to think you can just apply governance around all of the change. So my team are continually thinking about, you know, how do we raise the bar? You know, they're at training events, at conferences, thinking about, you know, how do we get even better? I think it's partly why, again, I love the profession, because there's no resting on your laurels, is there? It's like, how do you get better? And look, we're doing that with AI. You know, I've got a really strong data function. We use data in 85% of our audits today. You know, I want to be at 100%. I want to be thinking about what techniques we use, how we use AI. So it's what makes the job exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we had Sharia on season one and Brooke, so we know how good the team is, and
they're brilliant.
And tell me, you've got a big passion as well, and you're quite firm in gender balance and network sponsor. How do you lead sort of cultural change programs to improve your employee engagement, or for, you know, when you're recruiting? How do you define that?
So, look, DE&I and culture is really important to me. And so you're right. So I do it in the group for gender, but I also sit on the FTSE 100 steering group for women, trying to improve the presence of women on boards and in excos. But so this is a real passion for me. And internally, I think, you know, I have to role model. So I do that within my own team. But you know, I'm constantly looking at, with our D&I team, you know, what are the unlocks? You know, where are people getting stuck, and how do we unlock it? Right, and it's going to be different for different people, but you have to have a real, it has to be a priority. You can't do this at the side of your desk. It has to be something that you're thinking about every single day. Lloyd's is a really positive place for this and is supportive of the change. So I'm lucky in that regard. But you know, it's something that is going to take years till we get to the point where we're really confident that we've got, you know, both gender and ethnic diversity resolved.
Yeah, sure. And what it means is for an audit function and really to be truth ready, what are the top skills and mindsets that you think should be leaders should be cultivating teams today?
So one of the things that I've changed at Lloyds is I say to my team, so the difference between internal and external audit or internal audit in a professional services firm is in those professional services firm, you have to earn your seat at the table. In internal audit, you have a seat at the table because your third line of defense, a very important part of the controls framework in the group. I have asked my audit team to bring the mindset of earning your seat at the table because by doing so, I believe you bring more value to the organization and you drive more effective change. And if you can bring that curiosity and bringing that mindset and really show up in that way, then I think the impact that you have across an organization is greater.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. I've never thought about it that way. That's good to adopt.
Yes.
And if there is sort of one skill or area of expertise that sort of an experienced internal auditor should prioritise to develop in 2025, you know, I know that you've got a great apprenticeship scheme, but maybe more for people that have been in the business or internal audit for a long time period. Do you think sort of technology is the way forward and people to reskill?
The easy and obvious answer to that is yes, but I don't like that answer because I think that then underplays all of the other internal auditors out there who aren't in that space. So I don't think it's the right answer for me. And I know this is a bit repetitive, but it's about, you know, what role am I in? And how am I going to do it to the very best of my abilities? Whether you're a business auditor, you know, do I understand how the business makes money? Do I understand the horizon risk? Do I understand, you know, have a thought about the, you know, what management are planning? Do I understand the regulation? So if you're on that side, it's about how do you get better at what you're doing? If it's tech, I think then it's, of course, it's upskilling, you know, in all of the different things that are coming at us. So I think it's different for different roles. But for me, it's about being the best you can be in the role that you're in.
Yes. And so when you're hiring them for internal audit, yeah, what are the key skills or transferable qualities you prioritise and how do you those attributes contribute maybe to success within the team?
Curiosity. The ability to challenge but influence. I think too many auditors challenge but can't influence. So you have to be able to influence change. So that for me is a really big driver because I'm very much in the space of I don't think it's the internal audit function's job just to present problems. I think, you know, we can't be a part of the fix, but I think we can drive the fix and make sure it happens. So that influence is critical for me. And that desire to, you know, to grow professionally. I think you have to have that desire because we have to be at the forefront. And so you need to want to grow professionally. That doesn't mean getting promoted. You know, some people don't want to be promoted. That's fine, but you need to have the skills to say, you know, how am I going to be the best I can be in this role?
And nowadays, especially sort of when I'm, you know, the very much the theme has been, you know, and been changing over the years that internal audit has to give more of a consultative approach, you know, building relationships with stakeholders and things like that. And I suppose it's a bit like if you're a people manager, you know, some people just don't want to do it or are unable to sort of train to do that. I would imagine sort of coaching and stakeholder, trying to manage those stakeholder relationships and influences a skill in itself.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just talking about technical skills. Is that sort of something you think people should be more aware of and maybe sort of go on coaching courses and to be able to
I think it's a really important part of what we do. And, you know, some people it comes naturally to, some people it doesn't come so naturally to. But it's, I would say stakeholder management is, you know, such a, like a big part of my role, a big part of others' roles. It's something that I pay a lot of attention to. You know, I want my, I want the group executive to walk into my office and say, Laura, I think I've got a problem. You know, I want your team to help. That's where you want internal audit functions to be. I have to have challenging conversations with management, but you can do it in a way that you walk out and, you know, everyone, you know, leaves not as friends, but, you know, but the professional relationship is maintained. That's so critical because I think if the relationship with internal audit is constantly an adversarial one, I don't believe you can do your job properly. Because I think that you will miss things, and because I don't think that you will be able to influence the business to drive change.
And do you see just generally the reputation of an internal audit is changing over the years now?
I think so. It's a really important job. You know, it's critical in an organization. And, you know, I'm really proud to be an internal auditor. And I think more of us should have that pride. I think it's changing. Of course, there are moments where, you know, people don't want you around. You know, you don't do this job to be popular, that's for sure. You know, sometimes you're the last person people want to see. But I'm really positive about the profession, and I fundamentally believe that we make a huge difference in, you know, in the control of the organisations that we work in.
Sure. And how do you sort of cultivate a culture within your team that's not sort of just only about values, accuracy and accountability, but also what encourages innovation and forward thinking?
So innovation and comes back to what I said earlier about I want, you know, what we do tomorrow to be better than we do today, and it's getting people to adopt that mindset. So everyone in the team has an objective on innovation. It's important. You know, we do some things, they work. We do some other things, we fail, and we learn from it and we move on. There are some things we do that the business love, some things we do that they think don't work. And I just, it's that a desire to continually learn and evolve and innovate. Again, I think it keeps things fresh, it keeps things interesting. And, you know, it does make internal audit a great place to work.
Fantastic. And you know, building a cohesive team is essential to any department, especially on risk and compliance. What sort of approaches do you use to foster trust and collaboration and a sense of purpose among your team members?
So it's really critical, isn't it? Because to have a team that that trusts what you do. So I spend a lot of time with my team. So for me personally, I spend a lot of time in with the audit teams. So I review every single audit report that goes out of my team. And when I'm doing that, I don't really want to review the report with, you know, my audit directors, my direct reports. I want to review it with people who do the work. So it's about, for me, it's about engagement, constant engagement, which, you know, which is for me, again, a part of the fun of the job.
Sure. And just lastly, with regards to sort of the risk and culture control landscape for 2025, where do you think sort of, you know, the need is going to be?
In what way, Hazel?
Well,
you know, try answer properly.
Data analytics, and we speak a lot about AI and sort of VSG. Do you think that there's sort of any other risk landscapes that we should be particularly looking at or taking, focus on?
So of course, the ones you've mentioned. The other thing that I spend a lot of time with our team on is culture. And cultures, people have taken different positions over the course of the last, I don't know, 15 years on culture, and you know, people change their approach. I'm really interested in what we do here in thinking about how is the culture driving risk and what can we learn from it? And but more so, what, how can the business reshape culture to reduce risk? So that would be one.
Yeah.
I think we all live the digital, I can't say this word, digitization, I think, which of course is tech. There is so much happening in every single industry. Really making sure when you layer that with, you know, getting the right outcomes for consumers, I think, you know, so it's for me, it's the intersectionality of a lot of these things. You know, same thing with AI and consumers. So it's the intersectionality of risks that I think people need to be really focused on as we move forward.
Sure, fantastic. And I must just ask you a couple of little questions at the end. Would you prefer a cup of coffee in the morning or a glass of wine at night?
I don't like coffee and I do like wine, so I'll go wine. I'm a tea girl.
And on holiday, do you prefer adventure or relaxation?
What was that? Sorry, beach or relaxation?
What do you prefer? Yeah. Adventure or relaxation?
Relaxation.
And so therefore, where's your favourite holiday destination?
I'm a big fan of Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Food, beach, weather, love it.
And is there any book that you're currently reading or podcast you're listening to at the moment?
Books I like to read. I have piles of leadership books, self-help books, piles of them. But I always defer to, you know, some novels. I'm not a big TV watcher. I read any novels that I can get lost in.
Sure. Well, Laura, look, thank you very much for your time today. It's been great speaking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Hazel. Bye.